talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines, as always, of history in the making. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving weekend. And a lot broke right after our last show on Friday. The three men, the three defendants in the Ahmaud Arbery case, found guilty of murder. There are Travis McMichael, all nine charges. Gregory McMichael, his father, all four. William Bryan, three felony murder and criminal intent to commit a felony. These are mandatory life sentences. Mandatory life sentences. They'll appeal, of course, but I think that their appeal is not going to go anywhere. Another breaking news over the weekend. There was a former Georgia district attorney who was criminally charged, and she was just booked into jail for the way she handled the initial Arbery case. What's that all about? Jackie Johnson, Ms. Jackie Johnson, 49 years old, of Brunswick Judicial Circuit down there. She discouraged the police from even investigating or recommending a felony charge. And what she did was, remember what the climate was down there at the time. Georgia had one of the few statutes, state statutes in the country that permitted a citizen's arrest. Now, when you were a kid, you might have played tag. You might have played, some kind of game where, you make a citizen's arrest. The citizen's arrest business is all baloney. The idea of citizen's arrest, I'll make a citizen's arrest. You don't make a citizen's arrest. You call the police. You call 911. Well, down there, they told the DA, that first DA, Jackie Johnson, that they were making a citizen's arrest because they saw Ahmaud Arbery running down the street and they thought he'd stolen something from a construction site. First of all, he hadn't stolen anything. Secondly, a lot of people walked through that construction site. How many times have you looked at a construction site and sort of poked your nose in, looked at it, or stepped a little bit into it and all that? And that's not a justification for killing somebody or chasing them with a pickup truck. The citizen's arrest statutes go back to the 19th century, to slavery days, pre-Abraham Lincoln. There was a Fugitive Slave Act that was one of the things that caused the outbreak of the Civil War, where if a enslaved person escaped and came north, slave catchers would follow him, and they go into Ohio. They go into Wisconsin. They did. They went into Milwaukee to grab a guy, escaped slave. Joshua Glover. If you go to Cathedral Square in Milwaukee, you'll see a memento to him. What happened was, under the federal law at the time, you could make a citizen's arrest. State law, certainly in the South, you could make one, so these slave catchers come after him, and they put him in jail. The enslaved person, they put in jail, and they were going to ship him back South. And people in Milwaukee got so ticked off, they tore it down, and they didn't tear the whole jail down, but they tore it open and rescued him, get him up to Canada. They weren't going to put up with this guys coming up in from the South and just grabbing people in our territory. But those statutes stayed on the books. Those statutes stayed on the books in some states. So theoretically, you're not, the Fugitive Slave Act is in the dustbin of history with the Civil War. But you have guys, you have bounty hunters, you have all sorts of weirdos running around thinking that they can arrest folks. Some bounty hunters have broken into the wrong house, killed somebody in the wrong house, shouldn't be killing anybody anywhere. That's anarchy. Well, in any event, Jackie Johnson said, well, this was the citizen's arrest. He resisted arrest, and so they used deadly force. That is so absurd on its face, but if you think back, that was the original story for a day or two after this thing broke. Well, finally, state of Georgia not only set this right, convicted these three people, but in addition, they arrested Jackie Johnson, and she is now in jail. That is a miscarriage of justice if it had gone forward that way, but also it's a miscarriage of her official duties. When you have the district attorney being a judge and jury right away and saying this was okay, what kind of a judicial system, what kind of a criminal justice system is that? So there you have it. They were convicted. It'll be appealed. I do not see that this appeal is going anywhere down there. People that I've talked to, and I've talked to people, some of whom are Republicans, some of whom thought that somehow the Rittenhouse verdict was fair. The Rittenhouse verdict was an atrocity. It was wrong. We're going to talk about that as well. But most people, in fact, everybody I talked to, no matter what their political persuasion, thought that the Ahmaud Arbery verdict was just. As one person put it, they didn't look on it as race. Guys jogging down the street, guys chase him in a pickup truck and kill him, that's murder. Period. End of story. So that's good. Although some of the initial polling was not good, in my view. They did polling during that case. 33% of Republicans thought the defendants were guilty, but 7% of Democrats. In other words, 2/3 of Republicans would have acquitted them. The sad thing is 23% of Democrats would have acquitted him, or the defendants, or were not certain about what it should be. They were not certain about what it should be. Now, those people who were polled did not sit there for days on days of testimony. They did not hear the testimony. All they heard were snippets of press attention and some grainy videos of some poor guy jogging down the street, guy jumping out of a pickup truck with a shotgun, they're wrestling, and the other come up on him, and one of them kills him. That's all they saw. But, you know, you'd think that people looking at the facts of that case, that the percentages would be a lot higher for did they think he was guilty or not. In any event, in my opinion, justice has been served down there. Justice has been served. The defendants, you can't just grab somebody off the street and shoot them. There's clearly a racial subtext to it, but one of the things that the prosecutor did here, which I thought was absolutely magnificent, counterintuitive, and most people who are lawyers would not have thought of it. One of the easiest plays in this thing would have made it racial right away. You know, black man is running down the street. This guy's doing this. This guy, they jumped out and they did it. They did it. The judge forbade testimony that after Ahmaud Arbery was murdered and lying in the street, the three men stood over him and one of them used the N-word. The judge excluded that. The jury did not hear that. You've just heard that. And a lot of people thought at the time, well, that was relevant. And I think it was relevant too, and I would not have excluded it. I think it was highly relevant. However, the prosecutor, she was magnificent. She gambled that people in Georgia and people in the South in general are so imbued with racial matters, strife, history. It's in the cultural DNA. People don't have to be lectured about it. They know it. They know that these three guys grabbed a black guy off the street. They get it. They don't have to have their nose rubbed in it. Faulkner, in one of his novels, said that the past is not over. The past isn't even past. Well, down there, that's true. And so the only time she mentioned race was in her closing statement. At one point, she said, a black man ran down the street and these three guys jumped down and shot him. She light touched it. She light brushed it. And quite frankly, even if I'd been trying that case, I would have probably injected a little more into it. But she was masterful and subtle. Just the slightest touch of the brush on the canvas. They got it. They understood. It's not like these guys jumped out of a truck and chased down the coach of the University of Georgia football team. Okay? I mean, they got it. What they end up doing was convicting, and they convicted in fairly brief period of time. I thought they would take a recess for Thanksgiving. They did not. They went into it, and they convicted. And Georgia, to its credit, unlike that Kenosha jury in Rittenhouse, to their credit, also charged the DA, Ms. Jackie Johnson, for malfeasance in office, for trying to cover this up when it was first reported to her. They're not going to put up with that anymore down there. And no matter what you might say about all those issues, about Georgia and so on, the Georgia peaches rose to the occasion. I'm very, very proud of them, what they did down there. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.